It was 1884 in Alabama, and a man named Washington headed to the polls to vote. The trouble was that Mr. Washington had been convicted of larceny some 13 years before, and ex-felons weren't allowed to cast a ballot. Mr. Washington voted anyway. So a jury convicted him of a second crime, illegal voting. As the Alabama Attorney General put it back then, the whole idea behind keeping those convicted of certain offenses from voting purified the ballot box by excluding all dishonest and infamous men. The Supreme Court of Alabama agreed with a lead lawyer for the state, calling voting the toga of political citizenship. It upheld Mr. Washington's illegal voting conviction. Even those who didn't steal much were kept away from the ballot box in Alabama 120 years ago. Larceny is larceny, an earlier court wrote, and we fail to perceive that the value of the thing stolen, whether a shade above or a shade below the dividing line, can enter into its moral criminality. Some things have changed since then, and some things haven't changed a bit. In 1974, the United States Supreme Court decided that it was perfectly okay for states to refuse ex-felons the right to vote. Sure, voting may help those who've served their time in prison to become fully rehabilitated, a majority of the justices wrote, but it's up to the state legislatures to decide such a thing, not the Supreme Court. The United States Constitution gives states the right to keep ex-felons from the polls in language that suggests that those convicted of rebellion or other crime not be counted as voters. As long as states don't discriminate purposefully, they should be okay. Since then, many state legislatures have taken action, but not all. The Sentencing Project reports that at least 11 states stop some former felons from voting even after they've served their full sentences. And the Right to Vote Project claims that that means a total of around 5 million Americans can't vote because of their criminal history. Maine and Vermont are the only two states that welcome all potential voters, including those currently in prison. Illinois is in the next most liberal tier. It keeps people who are incarcerated from casting ballots, but allows those awaiting trial and those currently on probation and parole to vote. 40 years ago, many of those voters would have gone to prison for 1 to 3 years, put away for illegal voting. Meantime, those with criminal histories continue to push for increased voting privileges. Several felon voting rights cases are making their way through courts now, many of which claim race-based discrimination under the Voting Rights Act. In 2006, courts decided at least 4 cases directly on point and directly against the plaintiff's discrimination claims. But back to Alabama. The Sentencing Project reported just a few days ago that Mr. Washington's state has the third highest disenfranchisement rate in the nation, and that 1 out of every 14 voters there is disenfranchised. Those who've committed felony crimes involving moral turpitude aren't able to vote, and the Alabama Attorney General just last year defined moral turpitude to include murder, rape, burglary, income tax evasion, and theft. Sorry, Mr. Washington of Alabama. Even 120 years later, it sounds like you'd still have a tough time convincing a judge that you have the right to vote. I'm Amy Guida.